so much detail and detail and detail that I can present. You're still here. At least some of you are still here.
至少大家。
The total number of verses in Sri Brahma Samhita is 62.
婆罗多摩颂《Brahma-samhita》一共有62个世界。In
these 62 verses, all the
是没有电了。All
the 10 topics found in a Mahapurana are included.
那么在这62个世界当中，有关于Maha
Mahapurana
的所有的10个题旨都已经包含在内。
We're going to start with 40.
40.
1. We get 39, 40. We get 41, 42. And then 43.
The range of topics, well, you can look in Canto 2, Chapter 9, verse number 1, and you'll find what those 10 topics are.
那么呢，在第二圣典伯伽瓦坛第二篇第九章第一十节， 我们也可以发现里面也讲到了这10个主题。
The Srimad Bhagavatam discusses them in 18,000 verses. Sri Brahma Samhita discusses them in 62.
那么圣典伯伽瓦坛用了18,000个世节来讨论这10个题旨， 而Sri Brahma Samhita 婆罗诃摩颂用了62个世节讨论这10个题旨。
Therefore, Brahma Samhita is packed, although short.
那么尽管Brahma-samhita看上去是一本小册子， 但是里面却涵盖了所有的这些内容。
And we've been discussing, when we're finished, we'll have discussed maybe half of those 62 verses.
那么我们到目前为止呢， 可能已经讨论了， 讲到了这62个世界当中的其中的一半。
A little bit more than half.
比这稍微多一点。
But the subject matter is very weighty, isn't it?
那么但是这个主题是很有分量的，是吧？
So we ended the section of verses that goes
36, 37, 38.
And in those verses, rasa, and bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti, and seeing Krishna with the eye of the soul tinged with prema, all of that was discussed. Very, very elevated.
那么呢，在36到38这三个世界当中呢，非常讨论了非常高深的一个题旨，其中讲到了，讲到了巴菲玛巴瓦巴提，菲玛巴提狂喜中的父爱服务，纯粹之爱中的父爱服务，以及用涂满爱膏的灵魂的眼睛去看 Krishna， 所有的这几个题旨都已经讨论到了。And
we ended yesterday evening, beginning another section.
然后昨天晚上我们在结束之前又进入了另外一个部分的前面这一部分。
And we called that section, Krishna is the basis of everything.
我们把这个部分叫做Krishna是一切的基础。
He is the basis and support of everything.
Krishna是一切的支撑，是一切的基础。
And that means literally everything.
那么也就是说它是一切。
Everything spiritual and everything material.
无论是那么这一切无论是指的是既是灵性的也还有物质的在内。
There's a Sanskrit term for that.
那么呢对这一个这一个这一句话有一个梵文词。
The term is pratishtha.
梵文词是 pratishtha.
Had any of you attended, a deity installation? A formal deity installation, like maybe in Mayapur?
那么有人参加过在 Mayapur 的无生体的树立的仪式吗参加过没有
Anyone attended the Panchatattva installation?
大家参加过 Mayapur 的无生体的树立仪式没有安放仪式
No one. Somebody. One someone back there.
有一个人参加了
Well, the deity worship term is called Pran Pratishtha.
那么崇拜神像的一个专业术语叫 Prana Pratishtha.
You know what Prana is?Prana is life air.
那么 prana 的意思是生命之气。
Prana is what sustains the life of this body. It's animated by the soul, but it's through the medium of prana.
那么 prana 生命之气是流眼自灵魂的，它维系了这个躯体。
And one of the parts of the yoga system is pranayama, the controlling of the life air through.Mechanical processes.
那么呢，在瑜伽体系当中有一个阶段叫 pranayama， 这是一个调息法，它能就是机械的去控制体内的气。
So with deity installation, with the installation of Panchatattva, it took 3 full days.
那么再去树立安放 Panchatattva 无圣体，花了三天。
Three full days.
花了三个整天。
It can be done much more simply.
那么实际上它可以以非常简单的方式去做。
The essence is giving life to the deity form, pran pratishtha.
那么其中的主要的就是说给这个神像给予生命。
And then formal worship begins.
然后呢，这种正式的崇拜就开始了。
Maybe one day here in Beijing, you'll have a Pran Pratishtha ceremony.
那么可能有一天在北京会有一个 Pratishtha 这样的安放神像的仪式。
So Pratishtha means the basis and support of something.
那 Pratishtha 的意思是某物的支撑或基础。
That term is used in Bhagavad Gita.
那么这个词在《薄伽梵歌》当中也有。
Can you remember what that verse is in Bhagavad Gita?
大家能够记起关于《薄伽梵歌》里面用过这个词的那个诗节吗
？Brahmanohi pratishtha aham. You know the verse?
大家记得这个诗节吗
？Krishna says that I am the pratishtha of Brahman.
那么他说到了。我是 Brahman 的基础，我是梵的基础。
What does that mean?
这是什么意思呢
？Brahman is the effulgence of the spiritual world.
Brahman, 梵是灵性世界的光灿。
And the Mahatattva is resting in that vastness of the spiritual sky.
那么呢 ，Mahatattva 它就是
the Mahatattva is resting in the vastness of the spiritual sky.
那么 Mahatattva 它就是栖息在浩瀚无垠的灵性天穹，依靠浩瀚无垠的灵性天穹。
We talked about the sky is blue.
我们昨天说到了天空是蓝色的。
And why the sky is blue?
为什么天空是蓝色的
？So in the sky, maybe there's a cloud.
那么在天空会漂浮着云朵。
And the cloud.Is resting in the sky.
而这个云朵呢，它是依靠这个天空的。
Below the cloud of sky, above the cloud of sky, in the middle of the cloud of sky.
那么在这个云朵之上，云朵之下，在云朵之间。
Correct.
是不是
？You're riding in an airplane, zoom zoom, going down the runway. lift off. Now you're in the sky.
然后就像是一个人坐火坐坐飞机，逐渐逐渐的就飞上了天空。
And then you keep going higher and higher, and you're in the cloud, in the sky.
然后这个飞机不断的往上飞呀、啊、飞呀、啊、飞，就在穿越在云层之间。
And then you're above the cloud, but still in the sky.
然后在这个云虽然这个飞机飞在云层之上但是云层之上仍然是天空
So when you're passing through the cloud you're also in the sky
所以呢当你穿越云层的时候你仍然在天空中
Similarly
同样
The whole of material creation is resting in the vastness of the spiritual sky
所以整个物质创造宇宙创造依靠浩瀚无垠的灵性天空。
So you know what that means?
这是什么意思吗?
We're in the spiritual sky.
我们在灵性天空。
Right now, we're in the spiritual sky.
就在当下,我们就在灵性天空。
Correct?
是不是对吗?
You understand?
明白吗?
We're in the spiritual sky.
我们在灵性天空。
Just, we're only paying attention to the material elements, that's all.
那么
We're only paying attention to matter.
我们只是专注这个，我们只是关注这个物质的元素。
And then this configuration of matter, that configuration of matter, and our happiness and distress is dependent upon what the configuration of matter is today.
嗯，那么呢，就是我们想的这样的表现出来的这种物质，那种形式的物质，每天都是专注于这个物质。
Supposing we withdraw our consciousness from matter and tune in to spirit, Brahman.
那么假使我们把我们的专注力我们的注意力从物质当中收回来专注到灵性上。
And then we know we're in the spiritual sky.
这样我们就知道我们在灵性天空中。
But chapter 14 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that spiritual sky has as its basis or foundation Bhagavan, Krishna.
那么呢，我们在第十三章章当中，第十四章当中 ，Krishna 说到了，这个物质的展示是基于 Brahman 的基础之上的。
Because the effulgence is coming from him.
因为这个光灿是来自于 Krishna。
So he's the basis and support of the effulgence.
所以呢 ，Krishna 他是光灿的基础和支撑。
And that's one of the verses we discussed yesterday.
这就是我们昨天的那个师节所讨论的内容。
Just a little review.
我们再回顾一下，复习一下。
There are four verses in this section.
那么在这一个部分有四个师节。
Krishna is the pratishtha or the basis and support of All avatars.
那么 Krishna 是 prasishta, 它是所有化身的根源或基础。
Each one of those avatars exhibits special potencies and abilities and features.
那么每一个化身呢，它展示出特定的能力、力量、特征。
Yes, finished. Okay. And Krishna.Invests each of those avatars with those potencies.
Krishna 呢，他冠以这些 avatar 化身以力量、能量。
We talked about Ram's power of shooting arrows.
那么我们昨天还讲到了主 Rama 他的弓箭的力量、射箭的力量。
Remember that example?
他是一个神箭手。
She remembers the example, but she had to translate it.
他应该记得这个例子，因为昨天他在做翻译了。
She got a little confused.
但是昨天有一点摸不着头脑了。
I'm sure she remembers.
但是肯定还记，他肯定还记得这个故事。
But that ability for Ram to fire arrows through the seven trees.
那么 Rama 他一箭就射中了七棵庞大的树木。
Big trees.
非常大的树木。
Solid trees. It's really hard wood.
那么是一个。这个树木呢，它的树非常的坚硬，
And they were big ones.
而且是很长得非常的庞大。
And the arrow went through all seven of them.
啊，这个它的一支箭就穿透了这七棵庞大的树木。
But not only that.
但是不仅仅如此。
What happened? arrow went down into the lower planetary regions.
然后呢, 这一支箭呢, 就去到了宇宙的低等的区域。
He paid obeisances to Lord Anandadeva, who's at the bottom of the universe.
然后他在那里,就在这个宇宙的底部,在宇宙的底部,在那里向Anandasesha的莲花祖顶拜。
And then came back to the bow of Ram.
然后呢,又回到了主Ramachandra的箭囊之中,弓上。
Wow, that was good.
哇,简直是太奇妙了。
That's one of the decorations of opulence or features coming from Krishna for each of his avatars.
所以呢,这是每一个avatar的,他们的装饰物,他们的力量,他们的特征,全都是来自于Krishna.
So Krishna is the basis and support of all avatars.
所以Krishna是所有avatar的支撑和基础.
Krishna is the basis and support of the Brahman effulgence.
Krishna is Brahman, Brahma Jyoti, 光灿的基础和支撑.
Remember that example of the moon and the halo of the moon?
大家还记得月亮和它的月晕。月辉。Yeah.
Okay. So it's one entity.
他们是一个实体。
The moon and the halo around the moon, the glow.
那么就是月亮和月晕、月辉是一个实体。
So Krishna is the pratishta of Brahman, the halo.
所以 Krishna 是 pratishta, 他是 Brahman 基础。
And that's where we ended yesterday.
这就是我们昨天结束的时候讲到的。
And there's two more verses in this section.
那么在这个部分当中还有两个诗节。
And in this third verse, it says that Krishna or Govinda is the support of all spiritual and material existence.
那么在第三个世界当中就说到了, Govinda是所有灵性和物质的基础和支撑。
And we'll hear some more, just in a moment.
那么我们现在来进一步的讨论。
And he is the support of all rasa.
这里面说到了它是所有rasa的基础。
Okay, so let's begin.
我们开始。
Oops, we want to go to text 41.
41?
Get text 41. We don't did 39 and 40. We're going to go to 41.
Maya Yajna Jai Gunya Hatmashaya Deja Vipaya Vana Sattva Valam Vipara Sattva Vishuddha Sattva Govinda Hari Purusha Tamaham Rajami.
Before we go on, we're going to spend a lot of time discussing these terms, Sattva Alambi and Parasattvam and Vishuddha Sattvam. So just see it now. I mean, you'll have to see it maybe down in Chinese down here, but those are the primary terms that we'll be discussing.
那么呢,我们在讲这个世界的译文之前呢,给大家来看一看这三个词组的含义。 就在下面的字对字里可以看到。
The translation. What happened?
什么?
Let's go back to this. So, you didn't change. I don't know what you did. Go ahead.
译文, 我崇拜原始的主Govinda, 它是绝对独立存在的本源, 是支撑一切存在的终极实体, 它的外在能量, 具体表现为善良、激情和愚昧三种物质属性, 并传播有关物质世界的伟大知识。
Did you use these pictures to... I gave it to you this morning. I sent it to you. I put it on the stick.
再述一下。
To repeat, the theme of this section is Govinda is the basis and support of all existence, right here.
那么我们先,
right here. Right here.
Govinda.
Right
Govinda 它是所有的存在的基础和支撑。我们再次说一下，这是这一群师节的主题。
Now, how we to understand that in terms of the truth about material existence?
那么呢，我们如何去了解关于这个宇宙创造的真理是什么呢？
And here's the answer.
那么这回答是这样子的。
He is described in this verse.
那么这节诗里面把它描述为
as the absolute substantive principle or Vishuddha Sattva.
那么它被描述为是 Vishuddha Tattva， 它是绝对的维，它是绝对维系的原则。
And he's the ultimate entity or being,
而且
supreme being.
它是终极的实体。
Up here, the ultimate entity or the paratattvam in Sanskrit.
那么在梵文当中，梵文词是 paratattva。
And it's through the agency of his Vishuddha Sattva that he supports all existence.
那么他通过他的 Vishuddha Sattva 这一代理，维系了所有的这些存在，一切存在。
So now, let's go through each one of these terms.
我们现在一一来阐明这每一个词的意思。
Govinda is para sattvam or the ultimate entity.
Govinda 是 Parasattva， 是终极的实体生物体，终极生物体。
Here's a quiz question for you.
那么现在给大家来一个小测试。
How does the first verse of Sri Brahma Samhita connect with Krishna as the ultimate entity?
那么呢 ，Brahma Samhita 的第一个诗节如何跟 Krishna 他是至尊终极的生物体？这一个词连接在一起有什么关系呢？什么关联？
The first verse,
怎么连接在一起？
The first verse is called Paribhasa Sutra.
那么第Brahma Samhita 的婆罗诃摩颂的第一个诗节叫做 Paribhasa Sutra.
And that's the verse that is the basis of the whole rest of the book.
那么呢，这个诗节呢是整个这一本书的基础。
The meaning of the book is found in that verse.
那么在这本书的要义就在这个诗节当中能够找到。
Other statements later in the book, they're simply expanding the meaning of the first verse.
然后这本书的其他的剩下的其他的诗节呢，是完全是延伸深入的去阐释了这一个诗节。
What is that first verse?
第一个世界是什么？
Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Maybe if you don't remember anything else from this class, you'll remember that verse.
可能大家听了这个课程之后呢，别的没有记住，但是这个诗节都记得了。
Because we recited it so many times.
因为我们念诵这个诗节背诵了很多遍了。
Because it governs all the other messages of the book.
因为这个诗节呢，贯穿着这本书的其他的所有的诗节。
So, in that verse it says that Krishna is the Parama Ishvara, the Supreme Controller.
那么在这个诗节里面说到了 ，Krishna 是 Parama Ishvara， 是至尊控制者。
He is the cause of everything that exists, the cause of all causes.
他是存在的一切的原因，是所有原因的源头。
So that's what parasattvam is.
这就是 parasattva 的意思。
So this verse is going to expand the meaning of parasattvam. What is that, parasattvam?
所以呢，这个诗节呢，就扩充了 parasattva 这个词的含义。
And specifically, it's in relation to spiritual and material existence.
那么呢，尤其是跟灵性世界、物质世界相关的。
Krishna is the source of both.
那么 ，Krishna 是这二者的根源。
He's the basis and support of both.
它是灵性世界和物质世界的根源，是灵性世界和物质世界的基础和支撑。
So how does he do that?
他是如何做到这一点的？
So now we're going to hear a little description of these other terms.
我们现在来讨论一下另外一个术语。
Govinda is the ultimate entity.
Govinda, 它是终极的生物体。
Parasattva.
它是 Parasattva.
And as the ultimate entity, he supports all existence.
那么呢，它作为终极的生物体，它维系了、支撑了一切的存在。
And the term in this verse is Sattva Avalambi.
这个世界当中的 Sattva Avalambi.
Avalambi. So what does this mean?
这个词是什么意思呢？
This means that he has his spiritual potency.
那么这个意思是他有他的灵性的
and
灵性的能量。
The spiritual potency is called by different names.
那么灵性的能量有各种各样的名称。
The term used in this verse, let's go back. The term used in this verse is Vishuddha Sattva.
那么在这节诗当中运用的词是 Vishuddha Sattva.
The absolute substantive principle. There's the Chinese.
这是中文的意思，绝对独立存在的本体。
And the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world.
物质世界是灵性世界的倒影。
Remember that?
大家还记得吗？
There's the transcendence and there's the reflection of transcendence down here.
那么呢，灵性超然的灵性世界，那么是倒映在物质世界，物质世界是超然的倒影。
So, it looks like the spiritual world, but it's contaminated and polluted and distorted.
那么物质世界呢，看上去似乎像灵性世界，但是它受污染了，它是扭曲的。
Now, the verse says that the Vedas then are manifest through the medium of that external energy.
那么这里面说到了韦达经通过外在能量这一媒介展示出来。
We'll cover that point later.
我们将在后面来对此进行阐释。
But for now, let's just focus on this Vishuddha Sattvam or the absolute substantive principle.
那我们现在呢，主要来讨论一下绝对独立存在的本体。
What's that?
这是什么呀？
It's the spiritual world.
这就是灵性世界。
Very early in Brahma Samhita text 3.
那么呢，在 Brahma Samhita 的一开始的部分，第三个世界。
Brahma describes the spiritual world.
Brahma, 婆罗诃摩，他描述了灵性世界。
And he also uses this term, Vishuddha Sattva.
他也运用了 Vishuddha Sattva 这个词。
Vishuddha Sattva has three parts.
Vishuddha Sattva 有三个部分。
Satchit Ananda.
Satchit Ananda.
Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha. So that's the elements or the three parts of Vishuddha Sattva, eternity, knowledge, and bliss.
所以呢，这就是 Vishuddha Sattva 的这三个部分，永恒知识和喜乐三个元素。
So, Bhaktisiddhanta says that these eternity, knowledge, and bliss have their reflected position here.
那么 Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasthaku 说到了这个永恒喜乐和知识，它在这个物质世界里有它的这个倒影。
In what way are they reflected? They're reflected as the modes of nature.
那么呢，它们倒影成什么呢？他们就倒映成了物质属性。
How does that work?
这是怎么运作的呢？怎么会是这个样子？
Listen carefully.
大家仔细的听好。
The sat feature is the feature of eternality.
那么 sat 它的实质是它是永恒。
the sat feature in the spiritual sky manifests eternally. Everything.
Sat 特征呢是灵性世界是永恒存在。
Its reflection in the modes of nature is the quality of goodness.
那么呢它呢它的反射或者是倒影就是物质世界里的善良属性。
And the chit potency or samvit potency is the feature of knowledge.
那么呢 chit 或 samvit 这个能量呢它就是知识能量。
Transcendental knowledge.
是超然的知识。
Its counterpart reflected in this world is ignorance.
那么呢跟这个物质世界里相对应的倒映在这个物质世界里的就是愚昧无知。
The mode of ignorance.
就是愚昧属性。
And we're almost done. We got the mode of goodness, we got the mode of ignorance. What's left? The mode of passion.
那么我们已经有了两个，这已经讲了两个部分了。善良倒映成善良属性，倒映成愚昧属性。那么还剩下一个。
The spiritual counterpart is Ananda, transcendental bliss.
那么在灵性世界里的 Ananda, 超然的喜乐倒映在这个物质世界里。
The reflection is the mode of passion.
那就是倒映在这个物质世界里就是激情属性。
The desire to enjoy.
就想要去享乐的欲望。
Material existence.
就物质想去享乐物质的存在。
Very interesting.
非常的有意思。
As above, so below. As above, as in the world realm of transcendence, so it is here.
那么呢，就是上面是超然的世界，这里倒映在这个物质世界里。
This is just a reflection of that transcendental realm.
我们这个物质世界是这个超然世界的一个倒影。
The cloud that's in the sky is created by the energy of the sun.
那么漂浮在天空的云朵是由于太阳的能量的一种。
The sun evaporates the water.
是太阳能量的一个产物。它是。
The sun evaporates water.
就是太阳把这个水分蒸发。
Then that water vapor goes into the sky.
然后这个水分呢就漂浮到天空。
And,Sometimes the water vapor forms a cloud.
然后呢，这个被蒸发的水分呢，有的时候就形成了，就是以云朵的形式呈现出来。
So the cloud in the sky is created by the sun.
所以呢，天空当中的云朵是由太阳来产生出来的。
Similarly, this cloud of the material energy is created by Krishna's Vishuddhisattva.
所以同样的，这个物质能量的云朵是由 Krishna 的 Vishuddhisattva 能量产生出来的。
Pure goodness.
它是纯善良形态。
When reflected in this realm, appears as the modes of nature. Pure goodness reflected in this realm appears as the modes of nature.
那么呢在纯就是纯善良属性纯粹的善良属性它倒映在这个物质世界里就是善良属性。
What's that reflecting agent?
那么这一代理是什么呢倒映它的这一代理是什么呢
Here's an object. Here's an apple.
例如这里有一个物体它是苹果。
Over here is a mirror.
那么对应就是在这边呢有一个镜子。
And in the mirror you can see a reflection of the apple.
那么在镜子里面我们可以看到这个苹果的影子苹果的样子。
Here is transcendence.
那么这个就是超然因为这个苹果代表了超然。
Over here is the reflection of transcendence.
而这边呢是这个超然的反射物。
What's that reflecting surface?
那么这个反射物的表面是什么呢
?Who knows the answer?
谁知道这个答案
?The material mind filled with material desire.
那么这个物质的心意里充满了各种各样物质的欲望。
So we...Only see the reflection, we don't even see the object that's creating the reflection.
所以呢我们只看到了其中的反射物但是没有看到这个反射物反射的这个它的实体是什么。
Right now, we're in the spiritual sky.
就在现在我们在灵性的天空中。
You understood that from before, correct?
那么一开始的时候大家还记得吗？
How come we can't, like, feel good about being in the spiritual sky?How come we're not being happy being in the spiritual sky?
那么我们在灵性世界里我们是多么的高兴。
It's that reflecting thing over there.
那么但是呢它却在这里就是灵性世界它在这里有这样的一个反射物倒影。
You all know something about Buddhism.
那么大家对佛教
What creates illusion is desire.
那么这个你
What creates illusion?
啊，是什么制造了这种幻象、幻觉
？Desire.
那就是欲望导致了幻象。
That's Buddha's teaching.
这是佛教的教导。
And it's Krishna's teaching.
啊 ，Krishna 的教导是。
So, but there's a different solution for Buddhism than Krishna.
那么呢，关于佛佛教和关于Krishna， 他们对此有不同的解决。
Buddha says, just make desire zero.
那么呢？那么他们的解决的方式是不一样的。那么佛教徒呢？他们说要让我们要它成为我们的欲望成为零。
And what's the result?
那结果是什么呢
？Nothing.
那就是虚无。
And you enter into the realm of nothingness.
而你呢，就进入到虚无的状态。
That's not what Krishna says, though.
但是 Krishna 不是这么说的。
Desire is natural for the soul. There is transcendence where the souls have desire.
那么呢 ，Krishna 说到了，灵魂是有愿望的，而这种愿望是超然的。
And what's that natural condition of desire?
那么呢？那么
What's the natural condition of desire?
那么一个受条件限制的这种欲望的本性是什么呢？
Love for Krishna.
Sorry.
刚才我翻译错了，就是灵魂它原本的这种愿望的本性是什么呢？是具有对 Krishna 的爱。
That's our natural condition.
这才是灵魂的自然的状态。
But we forgot Krishna.
但是我们遗忘了 Krishna.
Instead, we're looking at the reflection.
我们相反，我们关注这个灵性世界的倒影。
And the modes of nature are moving here and there.
那么物质属性呢，就这样不断的运作。
And we're attracted to trying to enjoy those modes of nature. We have our favorite one.
这样呢，我们受到物质属性的吸引，我们想要去享受这一切。
Some people like intoxication.
那么有些人呢，他们喜欢吸食麻醉品。
Happiness in the mode of ignorance.
这是一种愚昧属性当中的快乐。
A lot of people in China like the mode of passion one.
那么呢，在很多在中国有很多人，他们处在激情属性当中。
Fruitive activity.
他们就是不停的活动，不断的活动。
Work hard.
他们非常努力的、辛苦的工作。
And prosper.
然后就是想要达到繁荣昌盛。
And with that prosperity, you can get new technology things.
那么通过这种繁荣昌盛的一个人，就可以获得那种高等的科技技术。
Just like Maharaj was describing, it used to be that people would ride bicycles, and now they have to have, you know, much more sophisticated things because I want to enjoy.
就像马先和马哈拉吉在先前的几个课程当中说到了，在中国就是几十年前，二三十年前，中国人大部分都是骑自行车。现在呢，有很多人都他们的这种便利条件得到了大大的改善，其中的原因就是因为他们想要去享乐这一切。
The teaching that we're hearing in Sri Brahmasamhita.
那么在 Brahmasamhita Brahmas 婆罗诃摩颂中的教导是。
That desire to enjoy material existence is the perverted reflection of Ladini Shakti.
那么，在这个物质世界里，想要享受物质世界的这种物质欲望，实际上是 Ladini Shakti 的一个扭曲的倒影。
What to do?
怎么办呢
？Connect to Ladini Shakti.
那就是和 Ladini Shakti 连接上。
Go to someone who's carrying devotion to Krishna in their heart.
那么去到那些内心承载着 Krishna 的那些奉献者那里，跟他们联谊。
And associate with that person and serve that person and become influenced by the Ladini Shakti instead of the mode of passion.
这样呢，就去服务这样的奉献者，去和这样的奉献者联谊，逐渐的就被 Ladini Shakti 所影响，处在 Ladini Shakti 能量之中。
Govinda is the basis of that Ladini Shakti.
Govinda 是 Ladini Shakti 喜乐能量的基础。
And the Samvit Shakti, and the Sandini Shakti, the eternity, knowledge, and bliss, he's the basis.
还有 Samvit Shakti, 知识能量，还有 Sandini Shakti, 这是存在能量。
He and his energies are the basis of the whole spiritual existence.
所以他是所有这些能量，他是整个灵性世界的基础。
And that whole spiritual existence is being reflected over here.
然后整个灵性世界的存在就倒映在这里。这个物质世界是灵性世界存在的倒影。
And he is the basis and support of this.
而他Govinda 就是这一切的存在和支撑。
That's what text 41 is saying.
这就是第41师节所讲述的内容。
Sattva Avalambi is the term.
这是 Sattva Avalambi, 这是这个词。
Now let's go through this again.
我们先来再复习一下。
There's this term in the verse Vishuddha Sattva.
在这个世界当中有一个词 Vishuddha Sattva.
There it is. The absolute substantive principle.
绝对独立存在的本体。
What's that?
这是什么？
It's Satchitananda.
这就是 Satchitananda.
Krishna is Satchitananda.
Krishna 是 Satchitananda.
And that Satchitananda is reflected over here.
这位 Satchitananda 就倒映在这里
as the modes of nature
他倒映在这里成作为物质属性是吧
and the spiritual realm is the basis and support of that
而这灵性的国度灵性的区域是这一倒影的支撑和基础
in this way he isThe support of all existence.
就这样呢 Govinda, 它支撑了一切的存在。
That's this term, Sattva Avalambi.
这就是 Sattva Avalambi.
Here it is in Chinese.
Sattva Avalambi.
You read it in Chinese.
意思是一切存在的支撑。
Is it clear?
大家清楚了吗？
Krishna is the basis support of all avatars.
Krishna 是所有 avatar 化身的基础。
Krishna is the basis and support of the vastness of the spiritual sky.
那么 Krishna 是浩瀚无垠的灵性天空的基础和支撑。
And Krishna is the basis and support of all existence, spiritual and material.
Krishna 是灵性存在和物质存在的基础和支撑。
Now there's this little discussion here about the Vedas.
那么这里呢也讲到了一点 也提到了 Veda 伟达知识
The Veda is diffused through these three modes of nature
哦，那么这个伟达知识呢是通过物质能量外在能量这一代理被得以传播
Here's what well you can read what the translation says Govinda's external potency diffuses the Vedic knowledge regarding the mundane world.
那么呢，在这里面说到了 Govinda 的外在能量，通过我们的外在能量传播了关于这个物质存在的伟大知识。
It's on my screen over here. Yeah. Oh, but you said it. That's fine.Here's what Bhaktisiddhanta writes in the purport.
那么 Bhaktisiddhanta 在要旨里面写道。
The regular principles within the Vedas.
那么在伟达经当中的那些知识
are displayed or diffused through the deluding energy.
那么呢，它是通过 Krishna 的迷惑能量或外在能量得以传播。
How good is your memory? We discussed this in verse 33.
我们在第三十三诗节的时候讲到了这一点。
This is verse 41.
那么这一节诗节呢是第四十一诗节。
Do you remember the statement made by Bhaktisiddhanta? Do you remember the statement made by Bhaktisiddhanta?
大家还记得 Bhaktisiddhanta 给出在要旨里面写到的陈述吗？
The vast portion of the Vedas are karmakanda.
那么呢，在韦达经里面，有一部分，一大部分是 karmakanda。果报之部。
That karmakanda section of the Vedas teaches how to enjoy things within the material realm.
那么 karmakanda 果报之部是讲的是如何在物质世界里去享受物质。
That portion of the Vedas cannot give you access to Krishna.
那么呢，这个部分《韦达经》的这个果报之部是无法给你提供关于 Krishna 的精髓的知识。
Vedeshu durlabham, adurlabham abhakti. Remember that phrase?
大家还记得这个词吗？
So it's not by studying in the Vedas alone that you can understand Krishna.
这句话说的是，仅凭研习《韦达经》是无法了解 Krishna 的。
Only through bhakti can one understand Krishna.
一个人只有通过 bhakti 奉爱才能够了解 Krishna.
So now, what is bhakti brought about by? What is that which causes bhakti?
那么是什么导致了 bhakti, 引发了 bhakti 呢？
Ladini Shakti.
是 Ladini Shakti.
Radharani.
Radharani.
She engages us in devotional service.
是 Radharani, Ladini Shakti, 让我们从事奉爱服务。
And she carries also knowledge about Krishna.
而且她也承载着关于 Krishna 的知识。
So if you engage in devotional service to Krishna,
如果我们从事对 Krishna 的奉爱服务。
Causelessly, knowledge of Krishna will also come.
那么呢，这种知识的原因，那么我们也会具有这种关于 Krishna 的知识。
Exactly what Srimad Bhagavatam says.
这是圣典国家瓦坛所讲到的。
Savai pungsam paro dharmo yato bhakti radhokshaje ihaktaki apratiyata yayatma suprasidati. That's not the right one. Maharaj, help me. Where the causelessly knowledge and detachment.
Vasudeve
Bhagavati. You know the verse? Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Gyanam Cha Yad Ahai to come.Causelessly, knowledge about Krishna and detachment from this world come when you engage in bhakti yoga, when you're in touch with Ladini Shakti. Detachment from the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance, it follows. And attachment to Krishna follows. And then knowledge of Krishna comes when you have attachment for Krishna.Through the medium of devotional service.
所以当一个人去从事奉爱服务处在接触到了 Ladini Shakti 处在他的影响下的时候一个人他就会对这个物质世界没有任何的执着和依附同时他会从物质世界的愚昧属性和激情属性当中摆脱出来同时他还会产生对 Krishna 的依恋
So now, just to conclude, the verse is speaking of Chaigunya Tadvishaya Veda Vitayamana, which means that these three modes of nature and Tadvishaya, one is trying to become the subject matter of the mode, excuse me, the subject matter of the Vedas is filtered through the modes of nature.The subject matter of the Vedas is diffused or filtered through the modes of nature.
那么呢，伟达知识通过物质，通过主的外在能量，物质自然属性的能量， 被得以传播。
Krishna is the source of the Vedas.
Krishna 是伟达经的根源，伟达知识的根源。
But those Vedas, when in the reflected manner, are passing through the modes of nature.
那么呢，当这个伟达知识通过外在能量这一媒介被得以传播。
Krishna cannot be known through those for that portion of the Vedas. Krishna cannot be known.
那么，就是通过伟达经
through that portion of the Vedas that pass through the modes of nature, Krishna cannot be known.
那么呢，通过伟达经的这一部分，关于这个物质世界的，就是刚才说到的果报这一部分，是无法了解 Krishna。
What to do?
怎么办呢？
Engage in devotional service.
那就是要从事奉爱服务。
Come in contact with Ladini Shakti.
那就是要去和 Ladini Shakti 连接上。
Well, he's going to fix it. You just speak. I'll speak loud. Is it clear?
大家清楚了吗？我希望大家清楚。
我很糊涂吗？
So now we're going to go on to the last verse of this section.
我们现在来学习这一部分的最后的一个时节。
Krishna is the basis of all rasa.
Krishna 是所有 rasa 的基础。
Krishna is the basis of everything.
Krishna 是一切的基础。
So he's also the basis of rasa.
所以他也是所有 rasa 关系的基础。
I want to bring to your attention that this verse begins the same way as one of the earlier verses.
那么呢，我不知道大家是否注意到了，这节诗的一开始就和我们的学的第一个诗节的第一个诗节是一样的。
Remember verse 36?
是和36诗节的内容是一样的，第一节，就是这第一行。大家还记得36诗节吗？
How the living entity who is engaged in devotional service may come to the bhava bhakti stage.
那么呢，当这个生物体他们从事奉爱服务，逐渐到了bhava bhakti 狂喜之爱的狂喜之爱当中的奉献服务。
And in that bhava bhakti stage.
那么在狂喜之爱bhava bhakti 的奉爱服务之中。
They begin to realize their rasa or their relationship with Krishna.
他们就开始觉悟到了自己和 Krishna 之间的 rasa 关系。
And there it is there also.
而这里也讲到了同一个内容。
Ananda Chinmaya rasa, same phrase.
这里面是同一个句子 ,Ananda Chinmaya.
Now let's hear what Lord Brahma has to say about this verse.
那么我们来看一看婆罗诃摩在这个诗节里讲了什么。
Let's chant together.
我们一起来念诵。
Ananda Chinmaya Rasamaya Manaso Yatrani Namaskaram Smaranamukhya Lilaye Namanami Jagatyajasram Govinda Vishnu.
As Krishna is the basis and support of all existence.
So, 那么 Krishna 是一切作为 Krishna 是一切的存在的基础和支撑。
He is the basis and support of all rasa.
他是一切 rasa 关系的基础和支撑。
Bhakti Siddhanta gives a very interesting translation of this.
那么 Bhakti Siddhanta 呢，就是给把这一个诗节翻译，它的译文是非常有意思的。我崇拜原始的主 Govinda， 他上演着自身的逍遥时光，其荣耀永远超然于物质世界之上。他永恒喜乐且充盈知识的 Rasa 的超然本质，映现在内省灵魂的心意中。
Look at the beginning part of the translation.
我们来看一看这个译文的。
Govinda's glory ever triumphantly dominates the mundane world.
那么国民党它其荣耀永远超然于物质世界之上。
By the activity of his own pastimes.
他通过上演他的，他通过他上演自身的逍遥时光。
Can you offer some examples of this?
那么大家能不能够回想起关于这句话有什么例子？
Think of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan.
在 Vrindavan, Krishna 在 Vrindavan 上演的逍遥时光。
We're meditating upon Krishna.
那么我们来想一想。冥想一下 Krishna.
What's an example?
关于这个时节的例子。Lift the golden hill.
Yes.
是的。
Indra was very proud.
Indra 非常的骄傲。
That's a material quality.
那么骄傲是这个物质世界的品性。
By his pastime, Krishna checked the pride of Indra.
那么 Krishna 通过他的逍遥时光打消了 Indra 的骄傲。
What a wonderful way to check Indra's pride. He lifted a mountain.
那么 Krishna 他是以非常奇妙的方式打消了 Indra 的骄傲，就是通过举起高瓦丹山。
Indra was defeated.
那么 Indra 被击败了。
Another example.
还有另外一个例子。Rama stolen the Vimoha.
Yeah.
Vimoha. Lila.
Brahma wanted to test Krishna'slimits of his power.
那么有一次呢 ，Brahma 主婆罗诃摩，他想要去考证一下 Krishna 的至尊的力量。
And Brahma taught him a really good lesson.
那么 Brahma 呢，他
Excuse me, Krishna taught Brahma a very good lesson.
啊 ，Krishna 呢就好狠狠的教训了 Brahma 一顿。
Unfortunately, I have some very wonderful pictures.That somehow Surabhi doesn't have in her computer.
但是呢，有一点遗憾的是，我的电脑里有一些非常美丽的图片，但是 Surabhi 的电脑上没有。
为什么没有
？They're right here on my screen.
就在 Maharaj 的电脑上。
And I gave her the images earlier. No. No, but this is all in Chinese, and mine's not in Chinese.
没有中文了，中文过来没
？Anyway.Krishna killed Kamsa.
Krishna 杀死了 Kamsa.
Krishna subdued the.
Oh, there it is.
Okay, there's one. There's another. Krishna subduing Kaliya. Krishna's.
Krishna 征服了 Kaliya 蛇。
叫叫什么名字？
那
个。
So. Another part of the verse says.
那么这个世界的历，后半部分说到。
Krishna's pastimes, when reflected in the mind of the recollecting souls.
那么这里面说到了 Krishna 的逍遥时光映现在内省灵魂的心意中。
Awakens within them their rasa or relationship with Krishna.
并且呢，唤醒了他们与 Krishna 之间的关系 ，rasa.
Two very nice examples of this.
那么关于这一点呢，有两个非常好的例子。
And they're both in relation to the chanting of the holy name.
那么这两个呢，都跟唱诵圣名有关。
Yesterday, Maharaj described very nicely aboutThe process of coming to the stage of initiation, and for us, it's through the chanting of the holy name.
那么呢，昨天呢 ，Maharaj 就讲到了启迪。我们是通过唱诵圣名，我们进入到这个启迪的程序当中。
So how does it work? That just from the chanting of the holy name, our relationship with Krishna can be restored.
那么呢，只是通过唱诵圣名，我们就能够恢复我们与 Krishna 之间的关系。这一点是怎么达成的呢？
In the way of a metaphor, I'm going to offer two different descriptions that our acharyas give.
那么我就是以两种比喻的方式，是先前 acharya 所提供的，所讲到的。
One description is the holy name is an ocean of nectar.
那么呢，一个比喻就是圣名，它是喜乐的海洋，超然喜乐的海洋。
Nam Amrita, Amrita means nectar.
那么 Amrita, Amrita 的意思是甘露。
And the holy name is an ocean of nectar.
而圣名是甘露之阳。
If one plunges into the ocean of nectar, the holy name,
如果一个人潜入到圣名的甘露之阳之中,
they'll find that there are waves.
他就会看到那里有波浪。
And having entered into that ocean of nectar, one may rise on one of the big waves.
那么当一个人潜入到圣名的甘露之阳中, 他可能有的时候会被拖在浪头之上。
The form of Krishna appears within the holy name.
那么Krishna的形体就显现在圣名之中。
The explanation of give is given. It's not like there's you and then something outside there that's the form of Krishna and you're chanting the name and it's like, there's the form of Krishna. It's not like that.
那么这不是说是你在这里,然后呢,有个东西在外面。那么Krishna的圣名不是这个样子。
The name has form, Krishna's form, and the name are none different.
那么Krishna的圣名和Krishna的形体是没有分别的。
If one can learn to chant in the way that Maharaj described yesterday,
那么如果大家能够念诵昨天 Maharaj 他念诵的那个方式的话,
offenseless chanting,
昨天 Maharaj 所讲到的唱诵圣名十诫,
then some big wave can carry you in this ocean of nectar and the form of Krishna is something that you can directly experience through the name.
那么你就能就是如果你能够避免这些冒犯的话，那么一个人就能够通过唱诵圣名，他就能够在这个奉爱圣名的甘露之阳的浪头上，托起，也就是他能够体验到 Krishna 的形体。
And then as one experiences that form of Krishna,
当他具有了对 Krishna 的形体的这种体验,
one can then appreciate his qualities.
那么一个人就能够去欣赏 Krishna 的品质,
Krishna's smile, or Krishna's walking, or Krishna's dancing.
Krishna 就能够去欣赏理解 Krishna 的微笑, Krishna 的舞蹈, Krishna 的行走,
the attractiveness of the hue of Krishna's body,
还有
beautiful lotus eyes.
还有他会受到 Krishna 的肤色的吸引，会受到 Krishna 的莲花眼的吸引。
Just as the earlier verses that we discussed describe text 30.
那么就像是在第30诗节当中所描述到的。
So those qualities of Krishna are like the small waves.
所以 Krishna 的那些品质就像是海洋当中的小浪花。
Just like in an ocean,
那么就像是海洋,
sometimes there's really big waves, and then in between the big waves, there's smaller waves.
那么海洋里面有非常汹涌的波浪, 那么就在汹涌的波浪之间有小小的浪花。
And when the big waves mix with the small waves, that's like Krishna's Leela. Then can one start to appreciate and even experience Krishna's pastimes.
那么呢，就在汹涌的波浪和这些小浪花接触在一起，就像是Krishna的逍遥时光的上演。那么一个人，他会体验到 Krishna 的形体，并且甚至进入到 Krishna 的逍遥时光之中。
It's very poetic. It's like poetry.
这是非常具诗情画意的。
It's a metaphor.
那么这是一种比喻。
The holy name is like an ocean of nectar.
圣名就像是甘露之阳。
In that ocean, there's big waves, and there's small waves, and there's mixing of the big waves and small waves.
那么在这个甘露之阳当中，有汹涌的波浪，也有小浪花，还有介于汹涌的波浪与浪花之间的波浪。
But you won't experience any of that unless you dive into the ocean.
那除非你是潜入到海洋之中，否则是体验不到这一切的。
And the holy name is an ocean of nectar.
而圣灵就是甘露之阳。
Through which name, form, qualities, and pastimes and sequence are realized.
那么呢，我们通过圣灵，那么接下来，那如果我们通过圣灵，就能够接着去觉悟到 Krishna 的形体、Krishna 的品质、Krishna 的消时光等等。
There's another very nice metaphor, the second one.
那么还有第二个比喻，是非常美妙的一个比喻。
It's described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in one of his books.
这是 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 在他的一本书当中写到的。
Harinam Chintamani, maybe you've heard that book.
可能大家听说过这本书，叫做 Harinam Chintamani, 圣灵如玉珠宝。
He describes or compares the holy name to like a little bud of a flower.
那他把圣灵比喻为就像是鲜花的花蕾。
In the spring, little buds will appear on the edge of the little branches of a tree.
那么在春天来临时，树上就会结出一个一个的小的花蕾。
And that bud is compared to the holy name.
那这个花蕾就比喻为圣名。
Through maturing of the chanting of the holy name,
通过非常成熟的唱诵主的圣名。
The form of Krishna progressively manifests within the name.
然后逐渐的 ，Krishna 的形体就会逐渐的在圣名当中展示出来。
It's like the bud that then slightly opens and unfurls.
那么就像是花蕾慢慢的一开始绽放的样子。
And then next comes a fragrance from that flower.
接下来，那么这朵花就会散发出香味。
And Bhaktivinoda Thakur compares that to the qualities of Krishna.
Fragrance.
The fragrance is compared to the qualities of Krishna.
而这个花香呢，就比喻为 Krishna 的品质。
And then the flower comes into full bloom.
然后接下来这个花呢，就完全的绽放。
And that's compared to Krishna's pastimes.
那么这种完全绽放的状态，比喻为 Krishna 的消时光。
And all of that becomes accessible.Through the chanting of the Holy Name.
所有的这些呢，都是通过唱诵 Krishna 的圣名而得以展示出来。
And this is the last slide of this section.
这是这一个部分的最后一个幻灯片。
That certainly was Draupadi's experience.
那么这是 Draupadi 当时被扒下外衣的一个场景。
When Dushasana and Duryodhana and other of the sons of Dhritarashtra were attempting to disgrace her.
那么当杜莎莎呢，还杜尤达呢，杜特拉斯卡的这些儿子们，他们在场。
She struggled very hard, but Dushasana was very strong.
那么，杜莎莎她。
杜帕蒂很挣扎。
杜帕蒂当时是一个非常内心很，她是非常在那里非常挣扎。而苏莎莎她使劲地拽她的衣服。
So she threw both of her arms in the air.
然后呢，她就举起了她的双臂，高举在头顶。
And called very loudly the name of Krishna and Govinda.
在那里大声呼唤着 Krishna Govinda.
And we see what happened.
我们可以看到接下来发生的一切。
Krishna came.
Krishna 来了。
And he not only came, he supplied unlimited sari so that Dushasana became exhausted trying to strip her naked.
然后不仅 Krishna 来了 ,Krishna 还为 Draupadi 提供了无穷 无尽的 sari. 就这个时候 Dushasana, 他虽然使劲地拽 Draupadi 的衣服，但是他已经精疲力尽。
There's the pile of sari lying in the ground.
那么我们可以看到地上堆起有成堆的 sari.
And there's the more and more sari coming from Krishna from the sky.
那么我们可以看到，从 Krishna 那里越来越多的 sari 从 Krishna 的手中洒下。
Who is stronger, Dushasana or Krishna?
那是谁更加强而有力呢？是 Dushasana 还是 Krishna?
Krishna.
Krishna.
And that's always the case.
那么 Krishna 始终都是这样。
But where are we taking shelter? That's the question.
那么我们向谁向到哪里去托庇呢？
If we rely on our own strength and our own piety and all those nice things.
如果我们只是凭借自己的力量，我们如果只是凭借天成活动的力量等等
，We will meet defeat.
我们肯定会一败涂地。
And if we take shelter of the holy name,
如果我们托庇于圣名
，then the form and qualities and pastimes of Krishna will become accessible to us.
那么接下来接踵而来的向我们展示的就是 Krishna 的形体 ，Krishna 的品质 ，Krishna 的消时光等等。
So, I'd like to cover one more verse.
我还想再讲一个诗节。
Is there time?
时间够吗
？Yes. Okay, so we're going to go now to. We finished that section.
我们讲完了这一部分。
And now we're going to go to the next section.
我们现在进入下一个部分。
Okay, so in section, this next section is very long, and we're going to go through it quickly.
那么呢，这个下一个部分呢是篇幅很长的。我们现在呢就是快速的把它过一下，过一遍。
In this world, there are many controllers and powerful persons.
那么在这个物质世界里，有很多的控制者，有很多有力量的人物。
Within God's creation, there are even more powerful persons, the demigods.
那么呢，在这个主的创造宇宙当中，有更为有力量的人物，他们是半神人。
But Krishna is the Lord of all lords.
但是呢 ，Krishna 是神明之主。
And we're going to hear all about it in the next 10 verses.
那我们接下来在接下来的十个世界当中。会对这个主题进行讲述。
So the section goes from text 43 to text 52.
所以呢，这个部分是从第43世节一直到第52世节。
And I'm trying to figure it out so I can finish all the verses by the end of this little national holiday.
那我就是就是尽自己最大的努力，在十一期间把这个主题讲完。
So we'll just focus for now on the first verse, text 43.
我们现在来看一看第43世节。
Because in this first verse it describes the different graded realms as the language of Bhaktisiddhanta.
那么 Bhaktisiddhanta 他是这样写到的，这个诗节是讲述的宇宙的分等级的分布。
He identifies four.
那么，它分成了四个部分，四个部分。
And first is this material creation called Devidam.
那么呢，首先是这个物质世界，被称为 Devidam.
Devidam is the place of Devi or Durga Devi.
那么这里说的 Devi 是指的 Durga Devi.
We'll hear more about her as we go forward.
那么关于我们随着我们的进程，我们会对此有更多的了解。
Because coming up just after this verse is a description of Durga, then the next is describing of Lord Shiva, and the next is the abode of Lord Vishnu, and then of course the topmost is Goloka.
那么呢，这个世界就是首先是物质世界 Devidama， 接下来是讲述，接下来是。主希瓦的居所，然后呢是。
So that's
Hari Dam， 接下来是这个宇宙是最高的居所 Goloka。
We'll hear more about these in detail. For now, we'll just speak of the realm in which these various personalities reside.
那么我们现在呢就不具体的不具体的去讲这个其中的细节。我们现在来看一看这个每一个大每一个居所的主宰神子，每一个居所以及每一个居所上的主宰的神子。
Let us chant together.
我们现在一起来唱念诵这一个诗节。
Translation.
译文：在所有星宿中，最低的是 Devadharma 物质世界，其上是 Maheshadharma， Mahesha 的居所。在 Maheshadharma 之上是 Haridharma， Hari 的居所。而在所有之上，则是 Krishna 的个人居所 Goloka。我崇拜原始的主 Govinda， 他派遣不同的权威，充任各级别领域的统治者。
I think what I'm going to do is let me see the pictures.
Alright, I think the pictures 可以自然按。你有吗？
有。
No.
还没来得及翻译，
他
今天早上才变。
但是还有啊。
但是他那个。
Yeah.
So. 就是我看到了，就是在这里也有这个关于宇宙的分布图。
Down here is Devadharma. You see that arrow pointing.
那么在下面，我们在下面可以看到，下面这个地方是 Devadharma 物质世界。
And then above Devadharma is.Maheshdam.
那么在 Devadharma 之上是 Maheshdam.
And above that is the Vaikuntha realm or Haridham.
那么在 Maheshdam 之上呢是 Vaikuntha 星球，也就是 Haridham.
And above that is Golokadham.
那在它之上呢，在 Haridham 之上就是 Goloka.
So there's a close-up look of Krishna's abode, lotus-shaped planet of Goloka.
那么呢，这个 Goloka 的形状就像是一朵莲花的形状，就是 Goloka 的近照。Krishna 和 Radha 就在这个莲花的中间。
So then, Brahma says, "I adore the primeval Lord Govinda."
Brahma 说道：“我崇拜原始的主 Govinda。”
Because it is Govinda who has allotted the authorities.To the rulers of those great realms.
因为他指派他的各个权威去充任各个级别领域的当中的统治者。
This is a little summary now of what this verse is saying.
那么这个诗节讲述的是什么呢？我们现在概述一下。
There's powers and opulences in each of these realms.Just look up here.
在这个每个级别的领域当中被赋予了相应的被赋予了跟这个级别相符的力量和赋予。
Appropriate for each of those realms, Govinda invests potencies and powers there.
那么 Govinda 呢就赐予了跟这个不同级别的力量和赋予。
Okay, so here's another poster that I don't know if you've seen.
我不知道这张图大家见过没有。
No. Not seen. Okay. It's similar, but another group of devotees made this one.
那么这是另外一组奉献者制作的这张图。
There's much more detail.
这是更为细节的。
We're going to take a close-up look at each of these.
然后我来把这个每张图把它放大。
We'll start with Devadharma down here.
我从 Devadharma 物质世界这个地方开始。
Here's Garbhodakshayi Vishnu.
这是 Garbhodakshayi Vishnu.
Where half of the universe is the Garbhodak Ocean.
那么呢，就是淹没把这个宇宙的一半淹没在 Garbhodaksha 就。运载之阳之中
and he is reclining on that Garbhodak ocean
而他呢就躺在 Garbhodaksha 运载之阳之上
and here's the 14 planetary systems
那么我们可以看到这个点指的就是这个宇宙的14个星系
and they're found within that stem that comes from his navel and ends in a lotus flower at the top.
那么呢，从 Gobodakshay Vishnu 的肚脐，嗯，长出一朵莲花。这个镜呢，就是这个宇宙的十四个星系，在这个镜之上是一朵莲花。婆罗赫摩就坐在这个莲花上。
And there's seven coverings of each universe.
而每一个宇宙包裹着七层覆盖物。
Made of different elements.
那么这不同的七层覆盖物呢，是由不同的元素组成。
And each one of these spheres, they're also universes inside of which is Garbhodakshay Vishnu.
而且我们可以看到，除了这个宇宙之外，其他的所有宇宙当中都分别躺着 Garbhodakshay Vishnu.
And this area is called Devidam.
而这个区域就被称为 Devidam 物质世界。
Outside of the universe is the causal ocean.
那么在整个物质宇宙之外呢，就是原因之洋。
The causal ocean is also sometimes called the river Viraja.
那么有的时候原因之洋又被称为 Viraja.
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 Thank you. And there is Mahavishnu.
那上面是 Mahavishnu.
Who is reclining in that causal ocean.
那么呢，他躺在了原因之洋上。
And unlimited universes are coming from the pores of his body.
而无数个宇宙呢，就从它的毛孔当中流演出来。
We're going to hear about all of this in the next verses of this section.
那么我们会在这个部分的下一个诗节里谈到这一切。
So above Devidam is Maheshdam.
那么在 Devidam 物质世界之上是 Maheshdam.
There's a closer look. There's Shambhu or Mahesh or Lord Shiva.
那么这就是主山普马黑斯瓦
希瓦
希瓦是主希瓦
and the verse excuse me in the purport it speaks of the dark side clouded in darkness is the lower region of Shivadam which is called Mahakaladam we're going to hear about it don't worry Mahakaladam
Mahakaladam那么就是这个云朵云朵的这个覆盖的下面这一层就是 Mahakaladam
And the upper region is the realm of Sadashiva in Sadashiva Loka
那么在这个云朵之上呢是 Sadashiva 的居所
We're going to hear more about these persons right now it's just their place of residence
我们都听过这样的人物，现在呢，我们讲的是他们所住的居所。
So this Maheshdam is on the other side of the causal ocean and just at the edge of the Brahmajyoti.
那么呢 ，Maheshdam 它就在元因之阳和 Brahmajyoti 之间这个地方。
And then, whoa, what happened above? Supposed to be.There's the, above that is Haridam and above that is Golokadam.
那么在 Maheshdam 之上呢就是 Haridam 在 Haridam 之上就是 Goloka.
Within the purport of this verse,
那么在这个诗节的要旨里面写道
I just focused on Shivadam for now.
我现在呢来特别的讲一讲 Shivadam.
The word Mahesh and Shiva,are like, you know, identical. They're two names of the same person.
那么实际上 Mahesh 和 Shiva 指的是同一个人。
One portion of which called Mahakaladam is enveloped in darkness.
那么 Mahakaladam 它被包裹在黑暗之中。
Remember there's the darkness area, very, very dark underneath the cloud.
那么你们还记得吗？就是在这个云朵的被云朵挡住的这个黑暗之中。
I'm going to describe this some more. I'm just preparing you.
我现在呢就要对此仔细的讲一讲。
And above that, there's the Sadashiva Loka full of great light.
那么在它之上呢是 Sadashiva Loka, 在那里充满了巨大的光彩。
So, it is said that there are three subject matters that are very, very complicated.
那么据说呢有三个主题是非常非常复杂的。
And Lord Shiva is one of them.
那么主希瓦呢就是其中之一一个主题。
Very puzzling.
是 令人非常迷惑的一个主题。
And the rest of this class I'm going to mainly speak about that complication.
那么呢在这个接下来的课程当中我就会讲一讲这个复杂的主题。
And in two more verses, there's another verse just dedicated to Lord Shiva and we'll discuss some more.
那么呢其中有两个诗节完全是讲述有关主希瓦的诗节。
There's, four different regions where Lord Shiva lives and they're really vast, vastly different.
而且就是主希瓦呢他有四个不同的地方居住在四个不同的地方而且这个四个不同的地方他们之间是有着很大的区别
if you like to take notes you can look up these scriptural references later
那么如果大家要记大家可以记下这个笔记这是这个其中引述的
I'll just summarize them in brief
那么我现在呢是简洁的来概述一下其中这个 引述的部分的内容。
There's this realm where Sada Shiva resides.
那么有一个区有一个地方是 Sada Shiva 所居住的住所。
It's at the lower region of Haridam.
他说到了是 Haridam 的下边的那一部分。
And the upper region of Maheshdam.
而上部分呢 Haridam 的上半部分是 Maheshdam
Prabhupada describes in a purport in Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita
那么 Srila Prabhupada 在 Chaitanya Charitamrita 永恒的主 Chaitanya 经的 Adi Lila 第六章七十九世界当中写道
Sadashiva is an expansion of Lord Vishnu
Sadashiva 是主 Vishnu 的一个扩展
But he doesn't manifest the fullness of the qualities of Vishnu.
但是他并没有全部的展示出主 Vishnu 的品质特征。
But he quotes one of the Puranas, the Agni Purana, in which it says that he is an expansion of the Lord for pastimes.
但是是帕帕他引述了阿迪 Purana 当中的一句话说到了他Mahavish,Mahesh 他是 Vishnu 的一个扩展是为了上演逍遥时光
I'm reminding you it's complicated
我跟大家说过这个主题是非常复杂的
Then there's another
abode
Then there's another abode
还有另外一个他还居住在另外一个居所
And there's a realm that's called Shivaloka
那么这个居所呢被称为 Shivaloka
You can look in Brahma Samhita text 15.
大家关于此呢，可以去看阅读一下《婆罗诃牟颂》的第十五世节。
And you will find there a description of from the body of Mahavishnu, Lord Shiva appears.
那么呢，其中就描述到从 Mahavishnu 身体扩展出 Shiva.
For the purpose of creation.
是为了进行创造。
I'm pausing to look for the puzzled looks on people's faces.
我看了看这个在座的脸上的，在座的各位的脸部的表情。
We know from third canto Srimad Bhagavatam.
我们都知道从圣典国家瓦坛第三篇。
That Lord Shiva appears from the brow of Lord Brahma.
那里说到了主希瓦是诞生至 Brahma 婆罗诃摩的两眉之间。
Correct? You've all heard that.
大家记得吗
Yes.
Lord Brahma is born from the lotus of Garbhadaksha Vishnu.
而婆罗诃摩 Brahma, 他是诞生至主 Vishnu 的莲花，从主 Vishnu 的肚脐长出的一朵莲花上。
He does his austerity.
那么他在这个莲花上呢，做了苦行。
He comes to understand his service is to create the universe within this shell.
然后他就开始认识到了自己的职责是创造宇宙。
He creates the universe.
他创造了宇宙。
And he wants assistance to help fill up the universe with population.
而且呢，他想要，他想要希望有助手能帮助他让宇宙充满生物体。
So he manifests the four Kumaras.
所以呢，他就展示出来了四库马尔兄弟。
And he asks the four Kumaras to assist him.
而且他请求四库马尔来协助他。
To create many offspring.
那么去留演后代。
They say no.
来四个婆罗门，四个普马尔兄弟说，我们不做，不这么做。
We want to remain brahmachari.
我们想终身保持遵守。
So Brahma becomes disappointed.
所以呢 ，Brahma 婆罗诃摩呢就有一点心烦意乱。
More than disappointed, he becomes angry.
他有一点，他不仅仅是非常的失望，
and、
而且是恼羞成怒。
Anger of Lord Brahma comes from his brow.
通过他的这个愤怒呢，从他的两眉之间。
And that's the Lord Shiva of this universe.
那么呢，就产生出了希瓦。这个希瓦呢，就是这个宇宙当中的这位希瓦。
Listen very carefully.
大家要仔细的听，专注的听。
Text 15 of Brahma Samhita speaks of a Lord Shambhu becoming manifest even before there's a universe.
那么呢，在婆罗诃摩颂是 Brahma Samhita 的第15诗节里面说到了 Shambhu 他是显现在整个宇宙被展示出来之前他就已经显现了
Bhakti Siddhanta calls it a prototype Shambhu
Bhakti Siddhanta 把它称为是
prototype
prototype
a sample
是这个山谱样本
Is that the right word? Prototype.
原本模本是这个山谱被称为是这个原版的山谱原版
Before there's even a universe.
那么甚至在这个宇宙被创造之前
A form of Lord Shiva appears from the brow of Mahavishnu.
从 Mahavishnu 的前额诞生出三步。从他的。
And then when the universes are manifest.
From the forehead of Mahavishnu. Yeah, Mahavishnu. Cool.
Before there's universes.
Yeah.
And then there's universes.
I mean,
I don't know. I don't know what you want.
I forgot.
So from the
forehead of Mahavishnu.
Yes.
Shambhu. Shambhu. From Mahavishnu's 前额产生出 Shambhu.
And then he creates universes.
然后是他创造了世宇宙。
And from that original.
从这个原版的 Shambhu.
Lord Shambhu or Lord Shiva comes into each universe.
然后 Shambhu 或者是主 Vishnu 进入到每一个宇宙当中
through the forehead of Lord Brahma
通过婆罗诃摩的前额进入到每一个宇宙当中
so there's abode for that original one
所以呢那个居所就是指的是这个原版的山谱的居所
and that's called Shiva Loka
它被称为
Shiva Loka
then There's universe, inside the universe. There's another place.
那么在物质宇宙之内还有一个地方有一个地方另外一个地方
Where the popular demigod of this universe, Lord Shiva, resides.
那么呢在那里就是有这个半神人的人口他主希瓦就居住在他们之中
And that's called Kailash.
而这个地方呢被称为 Kailash.
It's the same Lord Shiva that is the Guna avatar in charge of the mode of ignorance.
那么呢，就是这是同一个，就是那个属性 avatar 化身，就是这一位居住在 Kailash 的这位 Shiva， 他是控制着愚昧属性。
And then there's a fourth residence called Mahakalapur or Mahakaladham.
那么主 Shiva 的第四个居所被称为 Mahakalapura。
In the third canto, chapter 12.
在《佛家瓦坛》第三篇第十二章。
That's the place where the 11 Rudras go.
那么这就是那么这个地方所描述的这个居所呢是那十一位 Rudra 所去的地方。
At the bottom of the universe.
At the bottom. 是在这个宇宙的底部。
So Lord Shiva came from the brow of Lord Brahma.
那么主 Shiva 他就是从婆罗赫摩的两眉之间诞生的那位主 Shiva。
You'll read this in Canto 3, Chapter 12.
那么大家去阅读《圣典·摩迦瓦坛》第三篇第十二章。
And that original, well, that Lord Shiva of this universe expanded himself into 11 other forms.
那么就是这个原本的、原始的那位主 Shiva， 从他那里展示出了这十一位 Rudra。
And those 11 Rudras, they started destroying everything that Brahma had just created.
然后这十一位 Rudra， 他们负责进行毁灭 ，Brahma 是负责进行创造的。
They were in the mode of ignorance. Destruction is the feature of the mode of ignorance.
那么去毁灭是处在愚昧属性当中的活动。
So Lord Brahma told them, you just simmer down. Just you can't destroy everything. We just got started.
那么婆罗赫摩就告诉他们说：“你们现在安静的坐下来，坐下来。现在这个宇宙刚刚被创造，不要毁灭。”
You 11 fellows, you can just do penance for a while.
那么你们这十一位小伙子，现在做一些苦行吧。
Until the end of the universe.
直到这个宇宙结束的时候。
You can go to this Mahakalapur place.
你们现在可以去到 Mahakalapura 这个地方。
At the bottom of the universe.
那么这个地方呢，处在宇宙的底部。
And just do penances and you'll become pacified.
那么你们在那个地方去进行苦修，你们就会得到安慰，得到安抚。
When the time is right, I'll call you.
那么当时间一到的时候，我就会叫你们。
And then you can destroy things.
那个时候你们可以去毁灭。
But not now, we're just getting started.
但是呢，现在不是时候，现在宇宙刚刚开始被得以创造。
That's one reference from Srimad Bhagavatam about where Mahakaladham is.
那么呢，在圣典摩迦瓦坛有一个地方指出了 Mahakalapura 这个地方在哪。
There's two other references.
还有两个这个资料。
There's two other references.
Yeah. 还有两处资料可以给大家提供的。
One of them is found in Brihat Bhagavatamrita.
那么其中一处呢是在 Brihat Bhagavatamrita 里面。
The BBT has published that book.
那么 BBT 呢已经出版了这本书。
Some of you know Gopi Puranadana Prabhu.
那么大家有知道 Gopi Puranadana Prabhu 是他翻译了这本书。
He did the translation for that book.
那么他翻译了这本书。
And in that book it describes the abode of liberation as Mahakaladham.
那么他这里面说到了解脱的居所就是 Mahakaladham。
And there's another place.
还有另外一个地方。
Canto 10, Chapter 89.
是在圣典摩迦瓦坛第十篇第九章。
It's also in Krishna book.
也在快乐的源泉这本书里面说到。
Where Arjuna and Krishna are going to the abode of Mahavishnu.
那个故事讲的是 Krishna 和 Arjuna 一起去到了 Mahavishnu 的居所。
And they go through the coverings of the universe.
他们穿过了宇宙的覆盖层。
Through the Brahmajyoti.
他们穿越了 Brahmajyoti 光灿。
Arjuna becomes blinded by the Brahmajyoti. He has to close his eyes.
那么 Arjuna 呢，他被 Brahmajyoti 的炫目的光灿刺眼的闭上了双眼。
And there they go to the abode of Mahavishnu.
然后他们就去到了 Mahavishnu.
And that abode of Mahavishnu in that section is also called Mahakalapura.
那么呢，在这个部分呢，说到了 Mahavishnu 的居所也被称为 Mahakalapura.
So I warned you it's a little complicated.
所以呢，我想大家是不是认为这个题旨是错综复杂的？Yes.
Lord Shiva has many different features.
那么主 Shiva 有很多展示了很多很多的特征。
And these different features have different residential places.
而它的不同的特征呢，有 相应的跟他的这个居所有有不同的居所。
This much you need to know.
那么这个呢，大家需要知道。
It's not of this world where we are.
那么不是说是。不是说我们现在所居住的这个物质世界
And it's not the Vaikuntha realm either.
它也不是 Vaikuntha 这个星球
It's something else.
它是别的
And that something else has different manifestations.
而这个别的呢它在以各种不同的方式展示出来
Here is a reference from Chaitanya Charitamrita.
那么这是引述的 Chaitanya Charitamrita 里面的陈述。
Where Prabhupada says essentially the same thing.
那么释迦牟尼佛呢，实际上讲述的是同一个主题，同一个内容。
So if you like, you can write down where the reference is, and you go look in your Chaitanya Charitamrita later.
那么呢，大家如果愿意的话。可以在课后把《Chaitanya Charitamrita》的这段陈述呢写到笔记本里。
And he describes the Sadashiva Loka, Mahakala Dham, and everything.
接下来又描述了 Mahakala Dham, Sadashiva Loka.
In this, one of the names of Lord Shiva is Bhutana.
那么这里面说到了主 Shiva 还有一个名字叫 Bhutana.
The word Bhuta means ghost.
那么 Buddha 的意思是鬼魂
Lord Shiva is the Lord of Ghosts
主 Shiva 是鬼魂之首之主
That's in the lower region of Lord Shiva's abode
那么是就是主 Shiva 的居所呢在这个宇宙的底部
That place of darkness that Bhaktisiddhanta talks about in the purport
那么是 Bhaktisiddhanta 在要旨里面说这个区域是一片漆黑
But another part of his abode is the place of light.
但是呢，主希瓦的另外一个居所就充满了光彩。
On the higher side, in Sadashiva Loka, he or Shiva worships Lord Sankarshan.
那么在希瓦洛，嗯，萨德希瓦洛卡的更高的，就是更高的一个部分，在那里他在崇拜 Sankarshan.
And there's a nice painting of the 11 Rudras that are doing their Rudra dance.
那么我们可以看到这个图片展示的是十一位 Rudra 在跳他们的 Rudra 的舞蹈。
This is the dance of destruction.
这是毁灭之舞，他们跳的是毁灭之舞。
And we're done.
我们现在讲。
Text 43.
这就是第43世节的内容。
So we've now covered three verses this. This
我们今天早上学习了三个事情。
And let's see if there's some enlightening discussion here. Any questions?
大家有什么问题吗？
每一个宇宙的希瓦，他们是同一个人吗？还是什么关系？就每个宇宙的希瓦
是同一个人？
是什么关系？他们每个宇宙的希瓦。
So what's the relationship between the Shivas in every university? Because in every university there is a Shiva. So what's the relationship between those Shivas?
One Shiva and the other Shiva and the other Shiva
yeah.
within the universes?
Yeah, yeah.
They're expansions of the same person.
他们全都是同一个人的扩展。
Probably Mahavishnu.
Yeah.
他们全都是这个 Mahavishnu 的额头流言出来的那个三部的扩展
the prototype、
the
original the one
它是就是它是这个原版的三部的扩展他们都是原版三部的扩展
我们在印度的时候有的时候看到一些团体他们唱那个商部这个名字他们这样唱的话算是唱出半山人的名字的时候
Sometimes when we are in India, sometimes we heard that people chant Shampu. So the Shampu refers to kind of demigods. The lane. They chant the demigod's lane.
Yes.
是的
Generally, it's Om Namo Shivaya. That's their mantra.
通常情况下，他们唱的是 Om Namo Shiva.
Shivaya. Shambhu is another name and it gets like if you think this is complicated, it gets much more complicated.
那么相扣呢，就是如果你们认为这里讲的已经很错综复杂了，那么如果再解释说这个相扣，他们为什么唱相扣这个名，那更复杂了。
But in two more verses, in verse 45, we're going to discuss more about Lord Shiva.
那么呢，在还有两个诗节，接下来两个诗节，44、45诗节，会进一步的来阐释关于主希瓦的。
So if you're here for this afternoon, you'll hear some more.
那么如果你下午还在的话，那今天下午继续听讲课。
六点半。
嗯，会了解的更多一些。
三弟。
就是我没听明白这块，就是那个波玛，波玛，波玛，
我波玛生气的时候，
波玛生气的时候，不是那个生出了希瓦，马哈威什奴。
有关系
啊，又生出一个，先生出一个，妈他为什么先生出一个
啊？
完了那个主播嘛又生出一个
啊，然后呢主希望又通过，
这是怎么连接的？
对，
啊、
就是、连接的。
嗯 ，Yeah, it said that before the universal creation, shampoo comes from.The forehead of Mahavishnu.
Yes.
And later on, we see that Lord Shiva take birth from the forehead of Brahma.
Yes.
So what's the connection between both?
It's the way by which the Brahma from the forehead of, excuse me, the Shiva from the forehead of Brahma comes, just like his question.
那么刚才说到的就是这个从婆罗诃摩的 Brahma 的前额产生就是诞生的 Shiva 就是刚才他所提出的那个问题
Okay, I'm Mahavishnu
例如啊，例如解释一下啊，我是 Mahavishnu 你
Fighting on the causal ocean
例如我躺在元婴之洋上
And I want to make a bunch of universes
然后呢我呢就是流演出了宇宙无数个宇宙
So from my left limb I create the prototype Garbhadakshaya Vishnu from the right limb I create the prototype Brahma and from my brow I create the prototype Shambhu
那么呢从我的左手呢就是流演出了原版的 Maha
Garbhadakshaya
Vishnu 原版的 Garbhadakshaya Vishnu 从我的右手就是流演出了原版的 Brahma 婆罗诃摩然后从我的前额就是流演出了原版的 Shampu
Shiva
原版的 Shiva
OK, now I'm ready to make some universes
那么现在我就是
And there go the universes Zoom, zoom, there goes all the universes
然后呢就是例如所有的这些宇宙重重就从我的身体的部分
这么快啊
从这个身体的毛孔当中就流演出来了
This original first Garbhadakshaya Vishnu he enters into each of the universes
然后这个原本的原初的 Garbhadakshaya Vishnu 进入到了每一个宇宙当中
And then from over on this side the prototype BrahmaAll the Brahmas and all the universes are manifest.
嗯，然后呢，从就是刚才说的右手的原版的 Brahma 婆罗诃摩，也是从这个进入到了每一个宇宙当中诞生，从每个宇宙当中显现。
And I need a Lord Shiva in each universe too.
而且呢，每一个宇宙也需要有 Shiva.
So I have that original Lord Shiva expand himself into all of the universes through the brow of.Lord Brahma.
所以呢，那么就是通过 Brahma， 通过 Vishnu 的前额流演出的原版的 Shiva， 通过这个 Shiva， 它扩展到每一个宇宙当中。
嗯。
啊，通过 Brahma 的前额，通过 Brahma 婆罗诃摩的
前额，通了这个
进入到每一个宇宙当中。
什么？
就是原版的
啊
我再重复，我再重复一遍，就是通过从玛哈从那个 Vishnu 的前额流演出的原版的 Shiva，
嗯，
他这个原版的 Shiva 通过 Brahma 的前额，
原版的 Brahma 的前额，
不，
每个宇宙的，
通过每个宇宙的 Brahma 的前额进入到每个宇宙当中。
You have a question？
啊，那个，
就是原版的希望，他那个他居住的地方，物质世界毁灭之后，他居住的那个地方毁灭吗？So the boat of the original Shiva, after universal destruction, the boat of original Shiva is also destroyed, or exists eternally.
I don't have the answer to that.
我现在对此还没有答案。
My understanding is.Sadashiva and Sadashiva Loka, they are eternal.
我的理就是我的理我到现在理解是 Sadashiva 和 Sadashiva 的居所是永恒存在的。
And for the purpose of creation,
并且是为了进行创造。
The other Shivas are expanded from Sadashiva.
所以其他的 Shiva 是从 Sadashiva
And thus, when the creation is annihilated, their abode and those expansions are also withdrawn.
那么呢，当宇宙被毁灭的时候，那么所有这些由三个希望所扩展出来的那些希望的居所也会被遭到毁灭。
That's my understanding.
这是我的理解。
I don't have any scriptural statement to support that understanding, but that's my understanding.
那么呢，我虽然现在还没有找到经典里的一个证据的支撑这一点，但是这是我对此的理解。
那就意味着凯拉斯山是每个宇宙都有，它是在这个物质世界是吗？
在每个宇宙的物质世界，
在每个
每个宇宙都有一个凯拉斯山，而这个凯拉斯山是属于物质世界里的一部分，是吗？
嗯。So, in each university, there is a Kailash mountain. So, this Kailash, each Kailash mountain is a part of the material world.
It's beyond the material world, within the material world.
它既超然于物质世界之上，又在物质世界之中。
Like an embassy.
就像是这个大使馆。
But when the material world is dissolved,
那么当这个物质世界瓦解之后
my understanding is that Kailash then becomes again incorporated in Sadashiva Loka.
那么呢，这个物质世界当中的 Kailash， 它就和回原本的这个 Sadashiva 的居所合二为一。
I told you it was complicated.
我告诉过你们，这个题旨是非常错综复杂的。
Yes.
那既然这么清楚，就说，是从马哈维什努额头生出来的。那为什么印度人都很多大部分人都认为，希瓦是主？
Since the original Shiva comes from the forehead of Lord Vishnu, why so many Indians think that Lord Shiva is the Lord?
Well, why do they think so many things?
那为什么还要就是他们想别的很多东西呢？想
One answer.Has been described twice already in Brahma Samhita.
那么呢，就是有一个答案，就是在 Brahma Samhita 婆罗诃摩颂当中，已经有两个地方回答了这个问题。
There are portions of the Vedas that manifest themselves through the modes of nature.
哦，那么这个部分就是说到了通过物质属性这一代理，伟达知识被得以传播。
And most people read that portion of the Vedas. Most people are familiar with the Karmakanda portion of the Vedas.
那么呢
很多
伟达经的很大的部分，我再就是刚才纠正一下我刚才的翻译，伟达经的很大的部分是讲述了跟这个物质自然属性相关的论题。那么很多人对伟达经的这一部分 Karma Kanda 业报之部非常的感兴趣。
Why?
为什么呢？
They want to enjoy.
因为他们想要去享受。
That's why we're in the material world. We want to enjoy.
这就是为什么我们来到物质世界，因为我们想要去享受。
But if you can enjoy more by pious enjoyment,
但是一个人通过从事虔诚活动，他会享受到更多。
Then you become a religious enjoyer.
这样呢，你就会。
You become a religious enjoyer. You follow the Vedas.
那么呢，如果你想要成为这样的享受者，就必须要按照韦达经的业报之部这一部分去做。
But we've heard twice.Those portions of the Vedas don't tell us about Krishna.
但是我们已经听到过两遍了，伟达经的伟达之部并没有告诉我们关于 Krishna 的一切。
But there's another portion of the Vedas.
但是呢，伟达经的另外一个部分
that are specifically invested with the Hladini and Samvit Shaktis.
那么呢，这一部分呢，被赋予了 Hladini, Samvit, 还有
Shakti, Samvit Shakti.
Samvit Shakti.
Samvit means knowledge.
那么 Samvit Shakti 的意思是知识能量。那么伟达经的另外一部分被赋予了喜乐能量和知识能量。
That portion of the Vedas discloses what you've just understood.
那么呢，伟达经的这个部分就揭示了我们所刚才学习的。
And they understand what the other portion of the Vedas discloses to them.
而且呢，就是伟达经的这一部分向他们揭示了这个知识。
And they have faith in that.
并且呢，他们对这个有信心，这一部分具有很充满了信心。
Krishna gives them that faith.
那么是 Krishna 赐予了这样的人这样的信心。
And it works. They get material prosperity.
而且呢，他们也得
They get material
而且他们也得到了物质的繁荣昌盛。
It works.
这是起作用的。
I have faith.
因为我有信心。
I don't need anything else.
我
I don't need anything else.
我不需要别的，不需要别的了。
So maybe I'll go to the Hare Krishna temple.
可能我会去加入 Hare Krishna 的庙。
Especially on Janmashtami.
尤其是在 Janmashtami, 参加 Janmashtami, Krishna 的诞 Krishna 的显现。
And I'll offer my respect to Krishna too.
而且呢，我也去顶拜 Krishna, 我也去向 Krishna 表示我的敬意。
Because that's very pious.
因为这是非常虔诚的。
And that will help me prosper too.
然后呢，我就能够繁荣昌盛。
That's the objective.
这是没有什么反对的。
Krishna says in chapter 2 of Bhagavad Gita,
Krishna 在《伯伽梵歌》的第二章里面说到
Most persons feel there's nothing more than that.
那么很多人都觉得除此之外就没有别的了。
Although he says there's something more than that.
那么或者是他但是或者是他说到了有超过于这之外的。
They have faith, there's nothing more than that.
所以呢，他们有这种信心，除此之外没有别的。
And where do they get that faith from?
他们是从哪里得到这样的信心呢？
Krishna.
是从 Krishna 那里。
He fulfills the desires of all living entities.
Krishna 他满足所有众生的愿望。
And the Vedas are compared to a desire tree. It fulfills all desires. Tell me what you want. We got some.
而伟达经呢，被比喻为是如愿树，它能够满足各种各样的愿望。
It's like a big supermarket.
它就像是超市一样。
And over there, there's a place that sells diamonds.
那么在那里
，There's some part of the big supermarket sells diamonds.
啊，那么在这个超市呢，有一个柜台在那里卖钻石。
Not a lot of people over there looking for diamonds.
那么实际上不是有很多人去看钻石、买钻石的。
They want the other stuff in the big supermarket.
那么在这个超市里面还有其他的卖其他的东西。
That's why.
这就是为什么？
这是原因呢？
这就是原因。嗯、
yes。
既然有原版的，既然有原版的那个萨达西瓦，应该也有原版的萨达西瓦的妻子。 的妻子也扩展出每一个
希瓦的妻子
到每一个宇宙都是吗？
啊，
然后它是怎样扩展的？
Since there is a original Shiva, then sure there is an original Shiva's wife.
And how?
And how the Shiva, and also and Shiva expands himself into each university. So sure that the original Shiva's wife also expands into the each university.
Each universe.
A universe, yeah, yeah, sorry. Each universe. Sorry. Into each universe. So how they expand into each universe?
If that case.
If in that case.
This afternoon we'll discuss that.
啊，我今天下午晚上的那一节课我们就会谈到这一点。
Because...This verse, excuse me, verse 39, no, verse 43 deals with Devi Maheshya Haridama Surteshu Teshu. So, in Devi Dham, that's coming next, that's the abode of Durga.
那么呢，我们今天刚才学到了第五章四十三师节，里面有一行就是 Devi Mahesha Hari Dhamma Sutesu Tesu， 这里面就说到了 Devi Dham， Devi Dham 指的就是物质世界。
And Devi has different abodes too.
而且 Devi 他也有各种各样的居所。
She is the consort of Lord Shiva.
这里面说的 Devi 是主 Shiva 的伴侣。
And Lord Shiva has all these different abodes.
啊，主 Shiva 也有各种各样的居所。
So that means she does too.
那就意味着主 Shiva 的妻子也是如此。
There's actually even higher ones.
那么
for Devi, there's higher ones for Devi.
那么还有一个比更比还有一个更高的，就是Devi 的有一个更高的居所。
Because Lord Shiva.Is transformation of Lord Vishnu.
因为主 Shiva 是主 Vishnu 的一个转化物。
This afternoon we'll discuss these things.
那么今天下午我们会对此进行讨论。
You'll be here this afternoon?
今天晚上那节课你参加吗？
Okay.
Three questions from Sakuntala Devidas.
Are they good questions?
Long, long question.
Sakuntala 妈妈她提出了三个问题。Krishna 为什么有那么多的笛子？为什么不同的笛子的长短又不一样？不同的笛子的笛声是不一样的吗？
That's just one at a time.
This is the first question.
This is the first question.
When is it?
The first question is that Krishna has so many flutes.
Yeah.
Why the flutes and some of them are short, some of them long. Why? What's the reason? And also, the different flutes, the sound of the different flutes is also different from each other.
Here's the answer.
回答是
Prabhupada says, variety is the mother of enjoyment.
那么啪啪说到了多样性是享受之母。
And Krishna knows how to enjoy.
Krishna 他知道如何享乐。
最会享乐。
Those list of flutes are just categories and then there's subcategories and subcategories of those subcategories.
那么我们在课程当中所列举的那些列举的那些笛子只是一个大概的一个分类，还有很多细节的分类，还有很多细节的分类。
Why only one flute?
为什么只有一只笛子呢？
Krishna is unlimited.
Krishna 是无穷无尽的。
Unlimited flutes.
所以他有无穷无尽的笛子。
What's the second question?
声音一样。
So how about the sound is same? Sound of the flute.
Variety.Why always sing?
Why always sing? 为什么总是一样的呢？
声音呢？
声音为什么声音总是一样的呢？它也是有各种各样的，充满着多样性。
Okay.
next.
No, but we say the sound is the Brahma Gayatri, right?
Ah.
Yeah,
okay. 那么就是那金刚石阿弥说到了，就是当昆士兰的笛音传到巴拿的耳朵当中的时候，它是转化成了 Gayatri Mantra。那么 Gayatri Mantra 也是昆士兰的笛声。
Well, it doesn't specify which flute Krishna played on that Brahma heard the sound of.
Ah, that's
it. Doesn't specify.
Specify.
我们不知道。
我们啊，我们不知道是不是就是当 Krishna 一吹笛音的时候，然后 Brahma 就听到。
But Govinda knew which flute to use.
啊，但是 Govinda 他知道用的是哪根笛子。
Brahma 他不知道用哪个笛子。
Brahma 就是我刚才就说到了，当 Krishna 吹笛子的时候 ，Brahma 不知道 Krishna 用的是哪只笛子吹奏出来的。但是 Govinda 知道是用的哪只笛子。第二个问题是在狂喜巴拉阶段，灵魂恢复原本与 Krishna 的关系，这种关系是灵魂从灵性星球堕落时最初的关系吗？当灵魂回归时，是回到最初的灵星球吗？这是 Yogeshwari 提出来的。
哦 ，Yogesh。
啊 ，Yeah. When, so, when is, yeah. When devotee in the Baba Bhakti, so at that time, the soul, revived.So the relation, original relationship of the individual soul revived, and this relationship is original relationship is the original relationship when the individual soul.Fall down from the spiritual planets.
These are totally speculative questions. When this happens, if that happens, what happens? I mean, I don't even understand the question. I don't know if the person understands the question. Do you understand the question?
No. Not
yet. What?
在狂喜巴瓦阶段，灵魂恢复原本与 Krishna 的关系，这种关系是灵魂从灵性星球堕落时最初的关系吗？
是他原本的，是不是他地位，是不是他的地位，
就是他
五种关系。
So when the individual soul in the Baba Bhakti, at that time the individual soul his original shape revived.So this relationship is the original shape, relationship with the Lord Krishna?
Yes. Yes.
是的，这种关系它就是个体灵魂恢复当，当个体灵魂处在狂喜巴瓦阶段时，个体灵魂恢复的原本与 Krishna 的关系就是个体灵魂与在灵性世界原初的和 Krishna 的那种关系。
You going to translate it?
Yeah.
This is question number three now?
No, the second question.
This is still question two.
第三个问题是阿朱娜来到物质世界时是来到物质世界就被 Maya 迷惑了还是扮演 Krishna 的朋友？这是 Sakuntala 妈妈提出来的问题。When Arjuna come to the material world, at that time...
When Arjuna?
Yeah, when Arjuna...came into the material world at that time, he was illusioned by Maya?
No.
Or just act as Krishna associates?
Yes.
Arjuna 并没有受到 Maya 的迷惑，他是他扮演的是 Krishna 的同游的角色。
Last question.
What's the third one?
Last question.
Yeah, this is the finish.
We finished?
Yeah,
finished. Arrivo! Last question.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Maran， 我们来到这个物质世界是为了进行享乐，不是我们从灵性世界来的，对吗？如果我们从灵性世界来的话，在那都已经有那么好的享乐了，为什么我们还会来这儿呢？
为了更好的享乐，为了更好的享乐。
The reason for us to be in the material world is really because we want to enjoy.
Yes.
But is that right? We're coming from the spiritual world. If we are coming the spiritual world, means that we are really enjoying greatly there. But why we want to?You know, be away from that enjoyment and come over here.
It was really dumb, wasn't it?
已经讲到了。
No good reason.
没有。
就说这个真傻，没有一个很好的一个原因，为什么我们会想
？If you want to find a good reason, you won't find one. There isn't one.
如果你想有一个什么原因的话，你就会去找的，找到这个原因。
Asking a question like you're asking.
那么就像是你刚才问的这个问题，另外就是有一个问题提出。
Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in his teachings.
那么 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 在他的著作当中这样写道。
It's based, the question itself is misleading.
这个问题本身就是误导人的。
Not just pointing the finger at you. Many people ask that question.
不是说是指你一个人哈问这个问题，有很多人都问了同样的问题。
The question is misleading.
那么这个问题本身就是误人子弟的，就是误入歧途的一个问题。
Because it places the misuse of free will as if it's an event in time. It places or it frames the.Position of misuse of free will as if it's an event in time. The context.
就是在这个时间的，就是我们误用了这种自由意志。一个人误用了自由意志，是自从时间被得以创造那一开始。
We only know events in time.
我们都知道这个时间的创造。
So now we're sitting in the temple room.
我们现在是坐在庙宇里。
And as soon as I finish talking, we're going to go have lunch.
那么呢，当我们上完这个课，就会立刻去吃午餐。
That's an event in time.
这就是时间的创造。
That's our frame of reference, how we relate to events.
那么这就是
That's our frame of reference, or how we relate to events.
那么这就是我们如何这个跟这个时间的创造连接起来的。
An event in time is like that.
那么在时间结束的。
This is a different kind of an event.
这是不同的创造，不同的创造。
And so it doesn't make sense. Once upon a time, we're in the spiritual world having eternity knowledge and bliss.
那么在灵性世界里，那里有永恒知识和喜乐。
And then we looked at our watch and said, "I think it's time for something else."
然后呢，那个时候在灵性世界里，灵性世界是永恒喜乐和知识。然后看了看表，哦，做点别的吧。
I'm having a great time, but I want to be independent from Krishna, so I'm going to misuse my free will.
那么在那个时候，他就想到了，我想去享乐，我想独立于 Krishna 享乐。就那个时候，他已经就是误用了自己的自由意志。
And some time passes and we fall.
然后呢，就是。
That's an event.
然后过来一段。
That's an event.
然后过来一段时间，我们就堕落。
That's an event in time.
这就是时间的发明。
Not that kind of an event. It is not that kind of an event. It's a different kind of event.
哦，这是不同的创造。
Here's how Bhaktivinoda, one of the ways that he writes this.
那么 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 他在他的著作当中这样写的。
Do not ask the misleading question.
不要去问那些误人子，就是误导人的，产生误导的这种问题。
When was the living entity created?
那么什么时候这个生物体被创造的呢？
Or when...The living entity was enthralled.
那么什么时候这个生物体被收回去？
For neither of them are events in time.
那么这是从无可追忆的时刻。
So we describe the living entity as being expansion of Krishna's marginal potency.
我们都说到了这个各种各样的生物体是 Krishna 的边际能量。
But it's not that that means once upon a time Krishna was alone.
那并不是意味着 Krishna 以前是一个人独自一个人。
And he was feeling kind of lonely.
然后他感觉到自己好孤独啊。
And he looked at his watch.
然后呢他就看了看他表。
He said, I think it's time for some living entities.
然后他就想哦现在是该这些生物体出现的时候了。
And then, whoop, there goes all the living entities.
然后whoop, 所有的这些生物体就产生了。
Not an event in time.
嗯不是这个样子。
But the living entities are expansions of Krishna's marginal potency.
那么生物体不是被创造出来的。那么生物体它是 Krishna 的所属部分是 Krishna 的碎片部分永恒存在。
It's an ontological event. I don't know what the Chinese word for that is. It's ontology. It's a description of the relationship between Krishna and the living entities.
那么呢这是描述的是生物体和 Krishna 之间的关系。
They're expansions from him. His expansions of his marginal potency.
那么生物体是 Krishna 的边际能量的扩展。
But it's not an event.
但是它不生物体不是被创造出来的。
It's a relationship.
这就是生物体和 Krishna 之间的关系。
And similarly, the living entities that are enthralled or captured in the material world.
然后呢，同样的，这个生物体它们 withdraw。
wing
就是收回来的。那么生物体啊，生物体他们在这个物质世界后来当毁灭的时候，他们又被收了回去。
Some living entities misuse their free will.
那么呢，有些生物体呢，他们误用了自己的自由意志。
Some living entities don't misuse their free will.
那么有一些生物体没有误用他们的自由意志。
And doing so is an event, but it's not an event.In time as we know it.
所以呢，那么实际上并不是是生物体是被创造出来的，而是这个运用自由意志，这是被创造出来的。
As Nrsimha Maharaj commented during one of his morning classes.
是这样。
Morning.
啊，就像今天早上Nrsimha Swami早上讲课，早上说到。
Some people view things this way. Some people view things that way.
有些人会这么想，有些人会那么想。
And it goes on and on.
然后就这样不断的不断的这样进行。
But Prabhupada's advice is, don't waste your time with that.
然后Srila Prabhupada说了不要这样去浪费时间。
Because in our conditioned state, we don't have the capacity to understand it.
因为我们现在受制约、受条件限制的这种状况是没有能力去明白的。
Best to focus on how to return to Krishna.
那么我们最好还是专注于如何回到 Krishna 那里。
Not how did I get here.
而不是说我是怎么到这个物质世界的。
So let's leave it at that, huh?
嗯，所以呢，这个回答呢，你们。
We can end our discussion on that note.
那么我们就以这个为结束吧。
See the Prabhupada.
Yeah.